Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. As I've reminded you all many times, if you are regular listeners, our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices really wants to address how today's choices affect tomorrow's community and how we look at the long-term ramifications of change in our society. And I want to add a note that I often do, which is we also are looking often at how the lack of changes in our society or the looking back at things that haven't changed the way we've expected them to affect our society. So we're going to look at a number of different things on a regular basis. Today we're going to talk about a program called Veterans Choices. It's basically looking at how to build bridges through art. I have to confess that I am a veteran and B, have no artistic skills. So we're going to talk about how that is not anything to really worry about. My guests have assured me on three or four occasions that an awful lot of people involved in this process believe they have no artistic talent. Somebody in the room who will remain nameless put their hand up after that, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. This program is really giving opportunities for those who have served in the military to express themselves through an artistic medium of some kind. It may not be painting, it may be metal, it may be glass, maybe a number of things we'll talk about. And they really want to basically look at ways of sharing those reflections on things that have happened in one's lifetime as a veteran and bringing them together, because for some people who have served, how they look at their service is something that doesn't have closure, or it has closure in some ways that has not been satisfactory for their experience. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. My guests today are Dupree Sprescia, and she's the creator and curator of the Veterans Choices Project. Carlotta Santa Cruz, who's the co-curator and a teacher of art. And then Lieutenant Colonel Greg Aranis. He's a U.S. Army retired Lieutenant Colonel. And we're going to talk about how art can really build bridges for a lot of veterans when they are, frankly, looking at situations where maybe bridges are not that easy to build after their service, or because of their service, or because of how they're treated after their service. Those are really things we're going to take a look at. If you want to be part of this discussion, the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I encourage you, if you want to be part of the discussion, to call in reasonably early. It is sometimes frustrating when we have callers that come calling in the last few minutes and we really don't have the opportunity to give the time and attention to what they are looking at and talking about. Dupree, I don't know quite how to start this other than just say, just please explain to me where this came from. And you've been running with it for a while now, and it's a tremendously effective project and rewarding.
Actually, we're in the third year, and it's like, my goodness, I don't even know how we got here. But it started when we were back with the Paso Robles Art Association, and we wanted to make a difference in the lives of veterans. And so we came to a town hall meeting, and that's actually where I met. He was actually active, the Lieutenant Colonel Gregory Arenas at that time. And Salud Carbajal was talking about veterans' issues. So we went there with the intention of saying, hey, have you guys ever thought about using art for PTSD or MST or any of these other things, and just as stress relief? So that's kind of how it started. And then I had a dream after I listened to all of these veterans talking about issues that they weren't getting served. They were having problems with this, that, and the other. And I started having like visions of big giant sculptures of red tape, and just like I really did. And so then I dreamt about it, and then I dreamt about it again, and I thought, you know what, I feel like we really need to do something. And it was beyond what we could do just with the Art Association. So I went to Studios on the Park and I said, what do you think about doing a show called Veterans Voices, where we allow them to express themselves about anything that they want? And there were lots of them that had issues they wanted to talk about, and lots of them that had things that they just wanted to celebrate. So it was really kind of beautiful. And in that process, Greg told me that he does art. He paints miniatures.
Right. That was, and through the eyes of myself, too, because going up to this, we have a friend, Colonel...
Bruce Irwin. Yes, retired.
Right. I had just finished a year's study with creative journaling expressive arts. And how does one surface stress and release it and get on with life, you know, because we all have it in various ways. And Bruce said, Carlotta, our female veterans need this. You need to come to this town hall. And I remember that night we came with some other friends who also encouraged us to go. Mm-hmm. And you stood up and you said, Dupree stood up and she said, art can really help, you know. And I thought, these big guys are going to go, what's wrong with her, you know. However, this big guy on the side of me said, I use art. He says, before I go to dinner, my wife says I have to do my art so I can come to dinner. And it just rolled from there. And we've made some great friends. It's a very big umbrella. One does not have to have a problem. One can just come to begin to see life in a new light, and that's what art can do.
Wow, so I just got busted out by
of course.
I'm going to back away from the table and leave it this way.
Yeah. Okay, so as mentioned, I'm the military advisor with this. And so I'll bust out a little bit on Dupree's too, because she wanted to put these wonderful dreams that she had and put together this art show in, I think, like 2 weeks or something like that. And I said, oh, my God, no. This is how the military does an operation. Okay. So we had to do the prior planning, because obviously P is the most important letter in the alphabet. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance, if I can say that on the air.
I think you just did.
Oh, inside voice. Okay. Yes. So... Dupree and I just hit it off. There was just something there that, with her spontaneity and so forth, and my control and her adjusting me and me adjusting her, it just formed. It formed really well. We both, you know, she had her way that she wanted to go. I had my way that we wanted to go, and put it all together that would do veterans the honor to allow them to express themselves. And as you mentioned, you can't draw well. For example, in the...
Can't draw at all.
You're perfect for this.
Exactly, because there's three ways to participate. The first way is if you are a veteran and you are an artist, okay, you can participate that way by showing your work. Or you want to learn photography, okay? We'll hook you up with a professional photographer, and the two of you will work on your project to show at the show. Or the third, which is more like me... I can't draw a stick figure if my life depended upon it, okay? So I got with an artist, Joe Thomas, and I gave him my idea, and we worked together. I mean, I did like little PowerPoint presentations and everything to try to get what was in my head so he could understand it, so he did the artwork that we presented.
And so he could illustrate your vision.
He was an interpreter. He interpreted what and put it out there, so he was my terp. And if it wasn't for the California Arts Council, this could have never happened.
And I might add that particular, and that was a triptych, meaning like three very large paintings that went together as he did that. And I did not know that Joe Thomas had worked with you on this particular piece of art. I knew there was a piece of art that he had done for you, but I didn't know which one it was. And
so
I
explain
there.
Which one it is.
Okay, what they're referring to is everybody comes up to us and says, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes us feel good. We like that. Okay, but who's gone up and said to the dog, the canine, mm-hmm. thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking of the typical picture that we all see, the empty combat boots with the puppy on it. Okay, well, mm-hmm. these combat boots were full, and there was a puppy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that's one life-size painting. Mm-hmm. The next one is now he's a dog, and he's in a service jacket and so forth. And one leg is a civilian leg, and the other side is a military leg, which starts to show kind of the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is robes and slippers and an empty harness.
And okay. Every time I see it or think about it, I start crying.
Okay, don't do that right now, but I see you welling up.
Stop.
Okay. So the beautiful thing.
It's okay. I have cried on live radio here before.
Right? Oh, yeah. They can't see your tears.
Yeah, they can hear me.
Okay.
Yeah. it's, as you said that, something occurred to me, and as I was preparing for the show, the notes that you gave to us to look at the show, looked at the website that you have and went over some things. It occurred to me that that from my experience, I did not. By the way, I served in the Navy for a little under 4 years. Okay, in the late 60s, early 70s.
Cool.
I can tell you, it was not a traumatic experience. Okay, which I thank God it wasn't a traumatic experience. I had a lot of friends and colleagues that had very traumatic experiences. Mm-hmm. But what I'm aware of is, as I think about not my service, but I think about being a veteran and looking at some of the art that you folks have worked with veterans on, and that is, this is as important as I see it to veterans who can come look at the art and think about what pulls them in or pushes them away from that art, from their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And my curiosity at this point, and we have plenty of time to talk about all of this, so we can go a little aside for the moment, is, have you found with what you've done so far that a lot of the work that you're doing and the effectiveness of it is not necessarily the veterans who are doing some art, but the other veterans who haven't, that are seeing the results of some other veterans' work?
Well, okay, so I can say from the first show, mm-hmm. okay, I can even take it before the show. Obviously, they busted me out about painting miniatures and so forth, which is very difficult. Okay, these are about an inch tall, and I have to wear different types of magnifying glasses to make that fine detail and so forth.
And they're
in the
super cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
cool.
You. So by doing that, I had some people that I work with, and I'm not going to mention any names, but some of them, we have our issues. You go to combat, you're going to come back. You're not going to be the same person. It's just that simple. We are normal people dealing with an abnormal situation in the most normal way that we can. So taking that into consideration, one of these people that I work with has some issues. I said, you ever think about painting? Are you kidding, sir? No, I'm dead serious. You paint? Well, yes, I do. So then I started showing him. By the time I came up to the show, this person had a huge 6-foot by 6-foot Arctic terrain, about 3 foot high, full of miniatures that he painted and built the entire terrain from insulation and mud and so forth, and painted. And I mean, it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
This is the fellow that said, this is ridiculous to start with. To some
exactly.
extent. Okay.
But once the point I'm making is that once some of these veterans see it, it's something that cues in their head, mm-hmm. you know, and that may be something they've never ever thought of before, you know. And that's one of the things that we always try to cover is that, you know, art, there's all types of therapies. There are thousands of therapies out there. And the veteran has to find the one that really works for him. And for this particular veteran, it worked beautiful. Because he saw from a different vantage point. He wasn't an artist, but he became one.
Yeah. Do you find that the experience you're working with to be drastically different for lack of a better word, baby boomer veterans, myself, like I'm 68 years old, so I served in the Vietnam era, even though I wasn't in Vietnam. My experience, I would say, if everything else about my experience was the same, except what the era was, I think how things were seen and how we were treated was drastically different. I was personally not in favor of the Vietnam War, and it's not a secret that I say that, but I still served in the Navy, which to some extent was a way to keep myself safe in that era. But I was aware that people had very little respect for veterans in that era, even though the Vietnam War wasn't their fault, okay? Mm-hmm. One of the ways I think we've grown is that even if you are not happy with what has happened militarily in the last 20 years, I think people have realized that that's not a veterans issue, that's a geopolitical issue. So how we are treating veterans feels better now than it did for me coming out of the service in the early 70s.
Yeah, that was First Desert Storm. When First Desert Storm came to end, that's when the America realized, you know, we have to take care of our veterans. Mm-hmm. And they're not, it's not the Vietnam era. We're not those type.
Yeah.
And when we came back, that was one of the first things they did. All the parades, a lot of us, if we saw a Vietnam veteran out there standing among the crowd during a parade, mm-hmm. we stopped. We really don't care. We're the Army. We don't yeah. care. We're going to stop the whole damn parade because I'm going to pull every one of them up onto the same float I'm on. Mm-hmm. Because that's my brother, and we're going to take care of him.
That I think that well, I think I can commend us as a society for at least having the growth to understand that and to be better about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you walk into a fast food restaurant now and you look at veterans in uniform or service members in uniform, and you look at how they are treated, and I'm still pleasantly startled almost every day that I see someone in uniform in a public place because they're getting more dignity than they did 40 years ago. So I think, and so the fact that maybe what you're doing is in some ways more significant for people my age, with an understanding that it is indeed honoring the need to address the needs of this group of people. And we have historically not done it. We've done it better in the last 20 years than we ever did it before that.
In addition to what you're just saying, I think you're absolutely correct. And what, as the curator and as an artist, what I recognized is that we had veterans that participated from all different eras, and the ones from Vietnam needed to be heard, and they needed to be able to say certain things. So we had, there was one particular veteran, John Somix, and the first year he does amazing fishing lures. Like, he carves them. The detail is just beautiful. I mean, they're total works of art. He came back the second year, which was earlier. We had the exhibition in March of this year. And he said, you know what, DePreece, there was a level of comfort and of trust that had been developed. And he said, I really feel like I want to do something that's really out of the box, and I need to know if you're going to let me do this. And as the curator, that's my job, is to give them a safe space to be able to say what you need to say. And so he created this sculpture, shall we say, of a skeleton inside of a wheelchair, sitting there holding these things, asking for help, because that was of his era, and that's what he felt. It was disgusting for him to be able to see homeless veterans, and he really wanted to make a statement. And I said, well, you're right, it's out there, but you know what? I got your back, and that's it. And so it was in the show, and it definitely caused a lot of people to talk. And we have the exhibition at Studios on the Park in the atrium, and they've been the wonderful venue that accommodates the show. And even with the kids, they do a lot of kids' classes. It was fine to be able to be shown in public, but a lot of kids ask the questions like, what is this? And so it's actually educating all different ages about what had happened. And it's also letting them be heard. And sometimes being heard is part of healing. And so that was my hopes in doing this whole thing, in that sometimes people need to illustrate things or be able to say it in a certain way and just to be heard. I mean, that's even what therapy is about, is being able to say something and have people still approve of you or get it out of your physical body.
Yeah, and then we also ran into the exact flip side of that. I remember the first day we walked into Studios of the Park and she introduced me to the people to throw this idea forward. Okay, I don't think I'm a big man. They always tease me that I'm huge.
He's a big man. he
can be intimidating, okay? Let's just say, to
and
say
so,
the least.
Yeah, so I showed up in uniform and so forth for this meeting. And the look in these people's eyes, I mean, they were scared. Especially
Fear.
When I said, you know, I have PTSD. and some of their questions were like, well, can we talk to them? Can we do? Well,
that's
of
right.
course. You know, but they... The average civilian doesn't understand us, you know? And so over time, next thing you know, we're all like best friends and stuff like that, and they're very comfortable. But that took work for the artist to learn that we're not crazy, dangerous animals or anything like that. We're people. And we're not going to explode at the slightest sound or something like that. But we do have trigger mechanisms. and they learn, okay, we stay away from that trigger mechanism, and so forth.
My hunch is that for a lot of those people, my hunch is their fear is not of you. Their fear is they don't know how to relate to you. So they can't start a conversation with you.
It's both.
You know, okay. Actually, I'm gonna add to that because those people, I'm one of those people.
To it. This is your program,
yeah.
Not mine.
So those people, including myself, were artists. What we always forget, and I didn't, is that veterans, they're our brothers and they're our sisters and they're our fathers and they're our uncles and they're our grandfathers and they're the people in our families. They're the people in our communities. So when you put them out here like they're separate, that's where the mistake is. And everybody, I mean, there are people that are not in the military that can suffer from PTSD and all of these other issues as well. So we make it seem like it's something way out here, and it's not. And so, yes, it was hysterical, actually. If I could show you a video of what that looked like, the looks on their faces as Greg came in with this intimidating uniform and his big presence and his booming voice, and all these artists were like, you could feel it.
I really don't
because this is radio, I need to at least clarify for this anyway. And that is, Greg has a beard. Okay, I was going to ask you because being in the Army and having a beard is not.
No, no, no.
Not, no.
Okay.
No, so this was all gone.
In the Navy, my beard was super short. Okay, okay. So, did you? I mean, this may be off the subject, but it's important to ask. So at some point you decided to start wearing a beard, okay? Mm-hmm. So do you now think about the circumstances under which you can still wear your uniform? You are still entitled to wear your uniform as a retired mm-hmm. officer.
Yes.
Okay. However, do you think about whether or not wearing your uniform as a retired officer and having a beard conveys a different image of who you are?
This beard can come off tomorrow morning. Okay, so...
Mine grows back really slow. I don't do that. Okay,
but so it will depend upon the situation. For example, I just got back from a military school, but I didn't shave it off. But I did cut my hair and keep it much more trim and much more professional. Okay, if there's a certain function or something like that where it would be inappropriate for me to have it, yeah, I'd shave it off. It doesn't bother me because I can grow it back tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but I'm wondering if maybe in some cases it might be an interesting way to start a conversation.
Oh, it is.
About, you know,
especially when I drive through military gates and show my ID and they look at me and they see the beer and they're like, just the confusion on their face, and I giggle.
Are you undercover?
And then they salute me and then we move on.
Well, in the old days, in the early Navy days of Admiral Zumwalt mm-hmm. allowing beards, every military base knew who the Navy personnel were because they're the only ones that had facial hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that the politics of that is another story altogether. Let me remind folks, that was a digression. I apologize for. We're talking about Veterans Voices, which is an incredible organization working to build bridges for veterans through art, both art that they can participate in, art that they can get involved in making, and in some my observation also maybe art that they can look at that can give them some ability to work through some issues and some observations of their past or their current situation. This is a conversation you can be part of if you want. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. We would like to maybe your comments or your thoughts about it. I realize my guests are fascinating, and this topic, I knew from the get-go this was not going to be a topic that anyone was going to find to be dry and hard to get involved in, and I appreciate you for doing that. DePriest, I'm assuming you don't have a military background.
No.
Okay.
I have military people in my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was a lot of this based upon people you were dealing with? I'll give you this: an artist and an artist who's an as engaging a person as you are. I don't believe you're not quiet and you don't stay off to the sidelines very much.
I was when I was little.
Okay, well, you're not little anymore. Anyway,
she was a very quiet child.
Yeah. Anyway, so, as you looked at the need for this, I mean, at some point you probably thought, "How do I make this come together and work?" Because the art I understand, okay, the experience of the people who I'm inviting to be artists, I may not understand, but I need to find a way to pull it together.
Okay, so just to give you a heads up, my background before I was in the visual arts was in the performing arts. So I have studied human behavior. So I find more commonality with people. And that's why I'm not fearful of that. I find commonality with people throughout the world, and definitely with veterans and civilian and all the labels that we can come up with. And so for me, what happened is I get a vision of something, and then I want that. I want that to happen. I want to make it happen. I want to be a part of it. It feels really good. Like, it's a feel good. And I have to tell you, doing this because this was such of service to other people, was such an awesome feel good experience for me, putting the people together. My big job in this was putting veterans and artists together and listening to certain veterans talk about things and what they wanted. Maybe they wanted to illustrate something. And then, like Greg, he was talking about what he wanted to do and his vision. And I'm like, I know the perfect artist for this. Let me introduce you guys. So I was like the matchmaker. You know, I know there's a lot of names that you guys can come up with for that one. But I would introduce them and I would say, okay, we're all going to go and have a little chitty chat. And then you guys are going to talk and see if this is a match on both sides, because you're both working together in a really cool way. And so the first year there were tons of matchmaking, and 99% of them worked, meaning that they both were agreeable that they wanted to go ahead and execute something in this fashion. Some of them were mentors. So some of them, they need an artist that can help them through the process of doing it. And so the way that it's kind of evolved to keep going down this path is that we realized there was a stronger need for having classes that would help teach artists or break that ice. And so we started incorporating more of that. We did it in the first year, but Carlotta Santa Cruz, who does CJEA, and myself were doing most of those.
Wait, back up.
Creative Journaling Expressive Arts, okay, CJEA. Thank you. Love the acronyms.
Okay.
The one thing I want to make clear is Veterans Voices is not an organization. It's a project. It's a program. The people doing it are 1, 2, 3, and then going out and grabbing other people, primarily by DePreece. She is not an organization. She is an individual who's led this program.
But we are working with the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, and they were formerly known as Arts Obispo.
That
and
is correct.
Now we are working in the second year with them, and they have been wonderful about helping make this happen.
What we're getting at here is that the California Arts, State of California, provides a grant for organizations to be our individuals to provide art services that will support veterans. It's called Veterans in the Arts. One needs a nonprofit to go through to be able to initiate this grant. So the first year, DePreece did it on her own. Period. And then someone said, hey, there's this thing out here called the California Arts Council, and they'll help support you do this. And she goes, really? So then we got together, and we had two friends come over and spend 3 nights with us and knocked out a grant. And guess what? It came through.
Yeah.
The next year, the Arts Council, the Arts Obispo, stepped in to be that nonprofit organization, because their umbrella is for the entire county. And so we did it again, and boom. And so
we have tremendous gratitude for Arts Obispo for
really stepping
for stepping
up to
in
that.
And letting that happen. And so so sometimes my visions are very idealistic, and I just am like that, you know, and the details. And sometimes people look at me like both of these two like, oh my God, go away.
I think that was my first comment. Okay. Really?
Okay, so they helped you get more realistic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Greg definitely was like, we need more time before more
That's
planning.
Right.
And Carlotta is like, I won't even say what she said. So that's what happens. It's a burning desire, a vision, and it has lived up to that, and it's grown in like really amazing, beautiful ways.
Okay. The three of you brought this together. Okay, and I know you're giving credit to other people also, but the three of you brought this together. So you've now been doing this for 2.5 years. It's almost
we're in the third year.
You're in the third year.
Yes. Okay.
Because it occurred to me as you're saying that is that there may be one element in here, and it may be that the process is early enough that you haven't really developed this as part of the curriculum, if you will. But you have the people who were in your first and second year, some of which, like the person Greg was talking about, who basically said, "You got to be kidding. You're going to have me do art. You forget it." Anyway, my hunch is that some of those early skeptics are probably evolving to be some of your best advocates. And my hunch is that, and with due respect to Carlotta, who's an artist and an art instructor, some of those people who maybe never believed they could do art are also becoming your instructors.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have people who are actually, at this point in time, we have people who are first-rate artists who are veterans themselves, who got the connection with people, and they felt like, I really enjoy doing this. I didn't realize that I could make this kind of a contribution. And those people are with us. And as far as, I don't think we've produced any Rembrandts, per se, out of this. However, I'm going to circle back to that. Okay,
we produced some pretty great stuff.
No,
don't
no,
let
no.
her tell you that.
There was a girl in the class, because I participated in her class.
Okay, yeah.
And she wasn't in the first show. She participated in the class. Did fine, did good, and then she did a painting, and if I'm not mistaken, it sold on the second show before we even opened.
Yeah, it did.
That is true.
It was,
that
and I'll tell true. You exactly who it was. It was Alana Rodriguez, and she happens to be, she's a veteran. She comes from a family of veterans. Her father was skeptical. He came to the show, and mm-hmm. he gave me a right on, and that they're going to be there
fist
for the
bump.
Second one. So she is also the art teacher at Grizzly.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
it's a non-visual meeting.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, yeah, that happens. Yes. So yes, that I think when people realize that all the art, first of all, is not really what you might think it is. It's pretty incredible. And there's such a range of topics that people actually address. There's photography and sculpture and mixed media. And glass and drawing. And, I mean, it's amazing. And the different viewpoints, some of it related to service and some of it not. It's just the fact of making art that is meditative, and it's a stress reliever, and it's fun, and it's amazing. And so I guarantee, now I know you, you have to be a part of this. You really do.
Oh, yes.
And now I got you on the air.
I'm taking the Fifth Amendment for right now. It's okay.
That's all right. I got the pen. You can just sign the contract right now, and you're good.
That's right.
Well, okay. DePriest, you work a lot in glass.
No, I work a lot in mixed media and in caustic. I use the beeswax. That's one of my big things.
Right.
But yes, some glass is incorporated in some of the work, but I'm not the fused glass artist. We have Larry Lembrain, who is one of our artists that's teaching. He's a teaching artist. He's a veteran. We also have Kelly Johnson. And those are free classes for veterans. We have them listed on the studios on the park website. They're mm-hmm. listed on DePriestBrescia.com under Veterans Voices 3. And you can download anything. You can contact me and find out. We have pottery at Anam Cray here in San Luis Obispo. We have Michael Messina is doing a how to make art on your smartphone. Like all kinds of artists who stepped up and were like,
Michael,
I want to do this.
He's a photographer.
Yes. He's incredible.
In the first show, he did my falcon.
Oh, okay.
Because I do my hawk, because I do falconry as well.
Yeah.
Anam Cray, that's coming up November.
That's Monday. It's coming up on Monday.
Monday, Tuesday?
Monday, the 11th.
Monday. Quicker than I thought.
Oh,
gosh. In some of your notes, because one of the things we asked about are things that are going on outside the local area. You mentioned that down in Fallbrook there is an organization
yes.
that basically does foundry work with veterans art.
Yeah, so I have a really special thanks to give to vetart.org and their veterans art project. Steven Dilly Max is like, he's the bomb. And Kevin Larson was with them, and Scott Hickey is now the head of their foundry. They came from San Diego. They cast, they do the wax molds of the veterans' faces. Then they take them back to the foundry. So the veterans get to participate in this. And it's totally fun. If the veterans decide that they actually want to learn how to do this and be employed by them, they will make that happen. Then they take them back to the foundry. They cast them. Then I just picked them up. I just picked up the batch that actually Greg and his wife Ishkra are in from this last go around. I picked them up last night. I came back from Fallbrook. So they are, and they travel all over the world. And Steve, the head, he is an artist and he is the founder of Vet Art. And he has been a mentor for me in how to, he actually was one of the people that encouraged me to he said, DePriest, you kind of busted your butt on this first round. And if you really want to do it again, really, you're perfect what you're doing. Apply for this VIA grant. I was like, oh, God, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he said it again. Knock, knock, DePriest, do this. So he's been a tremendous mentor in helping get funding to make these things possible and to continue being able to do this and do it to another level. Now we have professional artists that are veterans that are teaching these classes for free. I mean, it's incredible.
It's free to the participant, and we're able to fund it so that the artist teacher themselves actually gets paid.
Correct.
Because we were able to get these grants to be able to do what the grant is intended
properly.
For and really do it properly, because we really knocked ourselves out that first year doing all the workshops, everything, you know, and it was like, oh, let me lay down.
Well, yeah, it was a lot.
I'm supposed to be retired.
I mean, one of the things that it's for a lot of people in general, and veterans, I think maybe this is a reasonably common commodity to look at, is if you're staring over my shoulder while I'm doing something for the first time, it's going to stop me in my tracks. And I'm wondering how, for some of these people who may have a similar reaction, you know, if you say, here's a project, go off and do it and bring it back and we'll look at it later on, I may be more willing to participate than if you say, gee, we're going to have a class and there's going to be five other people in the room along with an instructor and everybody's going to be able to see what you're doing. And my reaction is, I'll see you next year.
You know, I will tell you that you would be surprised. First of all,
for the record, Greg is shaking his head. Yes. Okay.
Well, that's the preconceived idea of what it's like. Once you get in there, you would be surprised at how it goes out the window. Like, you know, everybody, it's like the first day of class. Everybody's like nervous.
You might be surprised how it doesn't go out the window for some of us.
Well, we're going to find out now, Fred, aren't we?
No.
Yes, we are. We know where to find you, Fred.
We'll be waiting outside the door.
Let me circle back. I'm thinking of John Somics right here, the Vietnam vet. Okay. The first year he participated, he did some beautiful types of artwork. That second year when he participated and he had the skeleton in the wheelchair with the sign, this exhibit goes for a month. And John, I can remember him coming in and he'd have a big smile on his face and he would be talking to people at that particular piece of artwork. He'd be engaging with folks and he talked. And it was really interesting to see his engagement, I want to say, with this, because they had a month to be able to just come back and hang out, and the community was eager to talk with him. So I just, that's been on my mind. So I had to circle back to that.
Okay. And you know what? Speaking about the last exhibition, which was in March of this year, there's a couple of highlights that I really have to share because they were really incredible. One of our veterans is 102 years old, Richard Blomquist, World War II. He was a bomber and he was getting ready to drop the bombs over Dresden and they ended the war. And he flew back and he had lots of interesting reflections about war and about what that meant and what he was prepared to do. And, you know, a lot of come to Jesus stuff going on for him. So he comes back, he ends up traveling the world, doing his thing, and he ends up in Paso Robles. And as his wife was ill towards the end of her life and getting ready to pass, they needed help with a caretaker. So they end up finding this young woman. And her father turns out to have been a boy in Dresden at the same time. So he survived the bombing in Dresden, So she said, you know, I really think you guys really need to meet because they both had a perspective on peace. And so they met. They became fast friends. And sure enough, so here you have two men that started on different sides of the world and the war in their youth, and now they are best friends as old men. And they love each other, and they founded the Paso Peace Community. And they're beautiful. Heart, it was a minister. Like, they just, and their perspective is absolutely outrageous. So this came out. This was a highlight of one of this last exhibition. And Richard Blomquist, so they founded, they got congressional recognition from Salud Carbajal, the congressman, for founding the Paso Peace Community and their gifts to our community as a whole and their insights. Richard recited a poem, Soldier, What Have You Learned? And this
was the night of the exhibition.
Yes, it was the night, the opening night of the exhibition. And then the Paso Robles Chamber Ballet did a dance, a performance to this. And it was specially choreographed to this. And let me tell you, there was not a dry eye in the house. I had so many of my friends that are veterans that are all part of the Veterans Collaborative, which is something I've been a part of for a few years now, thanks to Greg, who brought me into the group. And they said to Priest,
he gets blamed for a lot.
He does. Okay. He's responsible.
Guilty as charged.
And I will tell you, they were absolutely moved at the beauty of this and his recital of this poem that really touched on. It was phenomenal. And it is available online to see. And it was amazing. So Cheryl Armstrong is the one who basically had Lisa Deo do the choreography for this piece, and it was for her father, who is Richard Blomquist. So we found interesting ways to incorporate all the arts, so the performing arts, the literary arts, the visual arts, and as an artist, a very, I want to say, well-rounded artist, because I've done so many different, from performing arts to visual arts, that this was wonderful because people, maybe they're, you know, they're into the music, or maybe they're into the performance. You know, we've been working on a performance piece that might come in this third round. So there are lots of ways for people to participate in any way. And we're actually doing even a poetry workshop. So people that want to have the word, they want to have the spoken word, we're going to do that.
And the teacher of that is a veteran who is also a literary excellent person. You got a PhD in English and
English
literature.
Teacher.
Yeah, just really good. But yeah. I want to circle back to something on the Richard Blomquist and Hart Young, and the two gentlemen that we celebrated the night of the art reception, which was in March of 2019. That was Richard's birthday, and we had a big birthday party. The same month was Hart's birthday. Hart
Young
turned 89, and Richard turned 101.
No, it was 102.
102. There we go. Okay. And that they also participated in the bronze bust. So when Greg and his wife, Ishkar, were doing that, so was Hart and Dick. And so here's the two busts, the men of the, and what they did is the Steve Dilly Max and the vetart.org, they had them join hands and they cast their hands so that now we have this beautiful symbol of their friendship and the peace community that they've put together. And Senator Carbajal wanted to
Congressman.
There we go. I give you new names. So
just
I think
just call him Salud. He goes by Salud, and he's fine with his first name.
Salud wants us to wants to priest to finish the video and everything for of them, and have this be in the Library of Congress.
We're getting a little short of time, and so I want to make sure we don't miss anything. One of the things that did occur to me as you were talking about poetry, and Carlotta's talking about other mediums and stuff, is my hunch is for the non-artists in the group, there are ways to basically do art. And one of the things I thought about is a friend of mine does video montage of still photographs put to music. And so I guess there are ways, You know, you can do, there's an assemblage.
Yeah. Right?
So assemblage is generally considered to be an acceptable way to define art.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe there are ways to do electronic assemblage for some of
Absolutely.
Your students.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can have monitors with video running. I mean, we're accommodating. We are like, we want you to get creative. That's the whole goal. And how you do that and what medium you use, that's totally up to the individual. So we're there to support and to help make that happen.
Okay. I'm hopefully just mentioning that as a suggestion got Greg to back off a little bit on me, so we'll be okay.
Okay. Yep. So now that he threw my name out there, I'll go ahead and. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to challenge all the veterans out there. All right. I'm challenging all of you. We've always been told don't think inside the box. What's a box? Okay. I don't have good idea of fairies. I have good idea of dragons. So all of you out there, just swallow your pride for a little bit. Check this out. Come out and see it. Come out, be a part of it. Your imagination is what we're going to put up there. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it could, like you were mentioning, electronic art, whatever. If that's what they do, we'll display it.
Okay. So do you have is there an ongoing semi-permanent display at Art on the Park?
They're not a veterans one. Okay. The veterans one will come.
But you have a studio.
I actually have a studio at Studios on the Park. I'm a resident artist, so you can find me inside studio number 10. And I am there Thursday through Sunday. If anybody wants to come and learn more about it, I can give them a list of classes. I can explain it, and, I can kind of talk. So
this is on Pine Street facing the park. For those who haven't been in that part of Paso Robles for a long time or ever, it's also where the old auto parts store was before the earthquake.
That's right.
Okay. I have to share with you that I think that is probably the ideal spot for you to be doing this kind of thing because it is a shared art space.
Yeah.
And you can't walk by the window and just say, oh, this is nice. I'll come back and look at this later. It's just an incredibly good shared space.
Yeah, I think there's probably 10 different studios inside there. They do children's art classes. You have every kind of artist that you could possibly imagine. There's the atrium space where we have the exhibition changes monthly. And then you have all the individual studios, and they do all kinds of stuff. And they have two different nonprofit studios on the park, and then the Art Association, which is in the back. And it's a big space with a lot of art, and it's just a very cool environment to come and check out.
Yeah. I want to be on the record because Greg seems to be the most assertive person to try and hook people in whether they like it or not. So I guess you do a good job of that, Greg, but my hunch is you're a reasonably safe person to work with.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, it's on radio, it's hard to – we've been somewhat lighthearted on a very serious subject.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's important to basically realize that that even though the three people in the room have ganged up on me and somehow are going to get me involved in this, you don't walk in the door of Studios on the Park and end up not being able to walk out the door without signing something over. But I don't want to forget, we've got a little bit of time, but I want to remember, as a lead-in, you're working towards a show in April of 2020.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit because people, some of us are slow to get on board, and it may get some people involved in thinking about this like it's not going to happen tomorrow. You know, we brought this program about because next Monday is Veterans Day, and this is a key thing to look at with the well-being of our veterans. But I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh, I don't have time to get involved in this, or oh, they're doing something now. Well, you've got some lead time on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So the month-long exhibition starts April 2nd, and it runs through the 26th in 2020. The artwork will be coming in during the month of March. Those are the deadlines. But the Art After Dark is the opening night exhibition, and that's when a lot of the artists are there, the veterans are there. It's a big party. We have a DJ Ed Morris. He's fantastic. It'll be his third time of doing it. He's a veteran himself. His brothers were veterans. He lost them, unfortunately, in service. And he just absolutely loves it. But he plays music that's all over the place. So we hit every age group and demographic that you could imagine. So it's really, it's a celebratory experience. The color guard is there doing the presentation of the colors. I mean, it's just, it's really, it's beautiful and it's fun. And everybody has a great time. But it's Art After Dark, which is the first Saturday night, and that is April 4th. It is from 6 to 9 o'clock in the evening, and sometimes we run a little late.
Anyway, for the record, if you haven't put together what's going on in Paso Robles with what's going on in the rest of the county, Art After Dark in San Luis Obispo is that first Friday, and then Art After Dark in Paso Robles is on Saturday.
Yes.
And I guess I can go on record as saying there are more places to snack and hang out around the Art After Dark in Paso Robles than there are in San Luis Obispo.
Absolutely. And we have, and besides Studios on the Park, we have Park Street Galleries, we have Earth Tones, we have all these other really great places. So you can kind of, you can hop around and have a really good time.
Right. As most of my regular listeners know, I try and get out of the way in the last few minutes so you can have something to say without me interrupting it, because you obviously can tell I interrupt things on a regular basis. So actually, Carlotta, you can start out.
Well, thank you. First of all, it's been a really rewarding experience to be able to go through this process, to see it from day one, especially with these three people, with these two other people right here. But what I've gained out of this is that the community itself that I understood, or friends that I had in Paso Robles or still have, they actually did express concern and we're going to be dealing with veterans and what does that mean? And for me, it was just a crazy question, because between father and loved uncles and cousins, military people were all around me. They're people who went out and did something that they didn't necessarily want to have to do, but they did it because it was required and it was necessary. And they, my family comes from World War II, the Vietnam era, and early Afghanistan. So to me, these are just other people that have had experiences that I can't imagine myself, and I want to welcome as much as I possibly can and work with them to feel good about themselves and what they've done. And so what I experienced were individuals who just really enjoyed the time that they had in the service. Enjoyed, that's not necessarily the word, but they walked away feeling really good about it. And then individuals that did not walk away feeling good about it. And so this experience, I feel very strong about art. It's been part of my life and in my family's life like forever. And it's a way to deal with, I have done my best art when I've had my most troubled times. And so I think that we're seeing a lot of that right now. So I want to just say, come into the studios, figure out what you can do, and guess what? You'll be surprised. You'll surprise yourself.
Okay. Greg?
Wow, how do I follow that? I guess what I want to say is that don't be shy, okay? And obviously we talked about, having PTS and going through the things that we went through in combat and so forth. So if you can go through combat, nobody's shooting at you, there's no IDs going off, come in, check it out, And let's talk. Let's just start a friendly conversation, and if you find something you like, great. We'll work. We'll work on it together. We'll take that journey together down that road. If not, then you can just be a supporter and help us and find other people that need help. You got to take care of each other.
No MREs. It's meals ready to eat. Sorry. Anyway, the snacks at Art After Dark are more enjoyable than that.
Oh yes, definitely. Anyway,
totally. And the wine is really good.
Yeah, DePriest.
Yeah. Actually, like I said, if you're even thinking about it, come check it out. You have absolutely nothing to lose, and I just really want to, if you want to help, if you're an artist and you want to participate and help other artists or other veterans, please come and see me, reach out. And I want to give another thanks to Arts Obispo, the County Arts Council here in San Luis Obispo. And if you wanted to help support this project, you would make a donation to that 501c3, and that would be the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, and you can earmark it for Veterans Voices. And so all of the information is on the websites if you want to come be a part of it, if you want to enjoy some of the free classes that we have offered, and if you just want to come and see what it's all about, please come to the exhibition because it's going to be something that will move you and you'll probably want to participate in one way or another after you see it.
Okay, so the available websites, people can probably, well, I believe if they Google your name.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll find us.
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But also, so again, let's see, you, do me a favor, spell your website out. And mm-hmm. Arts Obispo is real easy. Studiosonthepark.org is real easy.
Yeah. Spelling but DePriestBrescia.com is a little tricky. It's DePriestBrescia.com. So it's DePriestBrescia.com. And if you just punch in DePriest, DePriese, it'll come up. Trust me.
And I would suspect that your studio at Studios on the Park has got some contact information.
Yes.
Even if you're not there.
If I'm not there, there are flyers about the classes. There's a big giant crystal pyramid in there that you can get in there for healing. So you'll recognize it because it's the only studio that has a crystal pyramid. It stands 12 feet tall. So yeah, you'll see it. But there's information and and all kinds of stuff. And I am there Thursday through Sunday to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to April.
Okay. Me too. Yeah. I'm looking forward to
April,
you and your art classes.
No. Okay, April. Okay. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate you being
Thank you for
today.
Having us.
Yeah. This is Central Coast Voices, as you've probably noticed by now a number of times. I want to remind you that Chris Kington Barker will be with you next week. She's going to take an in-depth look at the Access Support Network. In 1984, the founders of Access Support Network basically witnessed a really serious problem, and that was that the community really did not have an advocacy organization for people who were HIV positive or had AIDS. So from that point forward, they've really grown into an advocacy group for a lot of populations. Today, Access Support Network also is involved in issues of both HIV and AIDS and Hep C. And next week, Chris is going to be talking with guest David Kilburn, who's the executive director of ASN, Carla Quagoga. I'm probably blown that name. I'm sorry, folks. Anyway, she is the program manager, and Andrea Johnson, who's a Hep C health educator. And they're going to talk about this ongoing problem in our community that somehow for a lot of people has fallen under the radar, but it's an important thing to pay attention to. And she'll be with us next week, and I'll be back here in 2 weeks and see you then. Central Coast Voices, as I've told you many times, is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County, along with incredible support from KCBX. You can look at the Vital Signs Report, which gives you an understanding of the status of life on the Central Coast, at actionslo.org. This program is underwritten with generous support by Joan Gellert Sargent. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. And I thank the listeners of KCBX for supporting this. Thank you to DePriest Brescia, Carlotta Santa Cruz, and Greg Arenas for being with you today. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you very much.